Now we are going to discuss about a few commonly asked viewer questions in case of immunobullous disorders. So I'm going to just discuss the random questions, but all of these are the selected important ones. So if the question is asked that what are the DDs of oral lesions in pemphigus vulgaris? So whenever the patient is complaining of any oral ulcers, then we have to ask that whether they are painful or painless, because the differentials of both of these are different. Usually we know that pemphigus vulgaris has painful oral ulcers, so the differentials will be aphthous stomatitis, herpatic stomatitis or herpatic gingivostomatitis, erosive, LP, trauma and leukoplakia. So these are the differentials of painful oral ulcers along with the oral ulcers due to pemphigus vulgaris. Then other than the oral mucosa, which other mucosas can be involved in pemphigus vulgaris? So any mucosa which is covered by stratified squamous epithelium, such as pharynx, larynx, esophagus, conjunctiva, urethra, cervix, anus, all of them or any of them can be involved in pemphigus vulgaris. So jab bhi hum patient pemphigus vulgaris ka examine karenge, usme humne in sab mucosas ke bare mein zarur puchna hai aur examination mein humne inko dekhna hai. Then what are the reasons for a false negative direct immunofluorescence? We know it is one of the specific investigations in pemphigus vulgaris, but sometimes even if there is an obvious case of pemphigus vulgaris, the direct immunofluorescence can be negative. So then what can be the false negative direct immunofluorescence? These include, firstly, the technical error. Secondly is that the disease may be clinical or subclinical, the inflammation can be clinical or subclinical, or in direct immunofluorescence, we are using the anti-sera which does not has the specific immunoglobulins for that particular disease. Means the selection of the anti-sera is not properly done. So that is why even if DIF is positive, we get a false negative result. In which pemphigus DIF may be truly negative? So it may be truly negative in drug-induced pemphigus, in which the lesions improve when the culprit drug has been removed and the prognosis is also good. Then another very frequently asked question is that how do we monitor the disease activity or the progress of the disease? Always remember that for the diagnosis we perform direct immunofluorescence, but when we call the patient for follow-up for monitoring of the disease activity and progress of the disease, whether the patient is improving or not, we don't perform the direct immunofluorescence again and again, because it is a painful procedure. We have to take the skin biopsy, so we go for the less invasive procedures. So that is why we perform indirect immunofluorescence and ELISA for the for monitoring of the disease. Indirect immunofluorescence, if shows twofold increase in the titer, then it means that the disease has relapsed. Then talking about Zanks cells, or we know whenever we are examining a patient on the bedside test, we can perform a Zanks smear. So in the Zanks smear, our target would be to visualize the acantholytic cells which appear in the form of a large rounded keratinocytes. This is typically known as a Zanks cell. So how does it appears? It appears in the form of a rounded keratinocyte instead of the polygonal shape, and it has a hypertrophic nucleus with a basophilic cytoplasm, and because the cytoplasm has tends to condense at the periphery, it leads to a formation of perinuclear halo. The nucleoli are hazy or either absent. So round keratinocytes with the basophilic cytoplasm and perinuclear halo, this is the typical presentation of a acantholytic cell in a Zanks smear, which is known as a Zanks cell. How will we take a biopsy? We usually take a shave biopsy from a new blister. Whenever we want to take a biopsy, we have to select a fresh blister which is not older than 48 hours. It should not be a hemorrhagic one. And when we select such a blister, then we take the shave biopsy after removing the roof. and then we perform the test. Other questions may be included as what is the treatment plan. I've already discussed in detail, but if we divide it into three phases, then first is that we give a high intensity treatment to control the disease. We continue it for a few weeks, then we maintain the same high intensity of the treatment to maintain this remission. It is known as the consolidation phase, in which 80% of the lesion should heal. And after the consolidation phase have ended, 2 weeks have passed, then we are going to slowly and steadily decrease the intensity of the treatment to the lowest possible dose of the steroid to maintain this remission. It is known as the maintenance treatment. Then how do we grade the disease severity? It is very, very important. Firstly, we'll be able to know that what is the general condition of the patient while we are giving a treatment. And also we decide that what type of the treatment should be given. So we divide it or grade it into mild, moderate, and severe. And how do we do that? We calculate the number of the skin lesions and mucosal lesions, and after that we'll be able to decide that what is the grade of the disease. So if the number of the lesions is less than number of skin lesions is less than 10 and number of mucosal lesions is less than 5, then it falls into the category of a mild disease. But if the number of the skin lesions is 10 to 30 and mucosal of 5 to 15, then it is moderate disease. And if more than 30 skin lesions and more than 15 mucosal lesions, then it is a severe disease. In the mild disease, usually we prefer giving topical treatment in the form of topical steroid or intralesion steroid and other topical treatments like topical antibiotics, topical tetracycline, topical dapsone. And if the patient is not responding, then we may even go to systemic therapy with immunosuppressives like azathioprine, cyclophosphamide, MMF. But in moderate and severe disease, usually we give systemic steroid in a high dose of 1.5 to 2 mg per kg body weight, and the other immunosuppressives therapy. And then we may go further depending upon the response of the patient.